morning, 7:40 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How you doing?
I'm great. It's very good to have you. Lots to get to this morning, including some cases that are not here in Escambia County. Let's start with the ones that are. Beggs Lane, the notorious camping by many, many, many homeless people, what, 50 or so at least?
Oh, at least.
Lots of trash, lots of... But you guys, based on the new law, you cannot allow public camping, and you're cleaning up the area, or somebody's cleaning up the area. What is your level of involvement?
Well, it's as simple as the Beggs Lane area. The area is being cleaned up that we're talking about is county property. Mm-hmm. That means the county owns the property. That means they can call the sheriff's office and say, remove this individual from our property, just like you would at your home or you would at your home. So that's what we're doing.
Who called you? The county
the
called?
County, Escambia County.
Like who specifically? Do you know?
Well, we got a call. Initially, it was from the county administrator and
the
people that are involved in all that. It's a combined effort by the county.
Okay, fair enough.
To their credit, they've had about 3 or 4 meetings that we've attended. And they said, okay, this is the time. They've given them 30, 60, 90 days. And they've told them that these are the resources available to you. They've had... those resources been over there the last couple weekends. And so our job, whenever they came to us and said, hey, we're at the point where we need to get them gone. Mm-hmm. So like we would, again, any other private property, we go over there and we did give them a trespass warning yesterday. And we're going to go back there today. And if they're not gone, we're going to put them in jail.
Okay. So they were told they had to be gone by today. If they're still there, they go to jail.
Yeah. But again, they've known this
for months. But they've had long warning. This is not sudden.
This is not one of those things, okay, it's the coldest day of the year. We're going to get you gone. No, I drove by yesterday. There was an ambulance on standby. There was a ECAT was there to take them wherever they wanted to go. And again, this is just because they waited until the last minute. This is not a secret. This is not any kind of a sweep. But it's about time, to be honest with you. If you've seen Beggs Lane in the area that it has become, you would say what I'm saying, that this is about time. We have had numerous calls for service there. We've had stabbings there. We've had a shooting there. We just have a lot of trouble there at this particular area. Not the only one, but I'm glad to see that Escambia County seems to be doing it right. They gave them plenty of time. We get there, we give them a warning, and then we come back the next day.
And plenty of agencies there to help, including obviously Waterfront has been featured a lot in this,
right,
but several other agencies as well, Lakeview, you know, to get right, whatever service they need to get them to a safe place, which they just cannot stay there. Yeah. It's a dangerous place to go. You shouldn't go back there when it was sort of in their control, so to speak. Right. You know, and I've had, you know, kind of, I had an inkling to go look at it one time, and I talked to somebody that said, you know, hey, don't go on your own, go with me. Let me find out if that's going to be safe, and that kind of, which is, you know, that's just being aware of the world, right?
Right. Right. And it's not their property.
Right.
But I think this is the way that you would want it to go. This is the way I would want it to go from a human aspect of things. First of all, you've allowed them to stay there. So now let's give them the services or give them the options. You know, these are your options. 1, 2, 3, 4. If you want mental health, we have mental health. If you want to go to Waterfront, we have Waterfront. We have, again, Lakeview in regards to the mental health.
Right.
If you go to a hospital, we will transport you to the hospital. And I'm not getting too much of their business, but I understand they've even allowed for some, they've been fixing some cars so people can have transportation. They've provided them, funds to, if they wanted to just stay here long enough to get out of town, to get back home, mm-hmm, they were providing them with those funds. So I think they've done it the right way.
The county's had the relocation program in for a while where we'll put you on a bus, you know, send you back home if you have a home to go to. Because that's, a lot of times that's what people actually need, because they need to be around people they know, support system they know. Part of the problem of being here, if they're not from here, is they don't have anything to help them, and mm-hmm, that's even worse. So yeah, no, I agree.
And I've been telling people for years now, we are prepared to move people if you ask us to move people. Again, if it's your property, we'll remove them. But we want to do it in a humanitarian type of manner.
And as of yet, no resistance, no violence, no trouble.
We'll find out today, I guess.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, today is when you start to implement, right? Really?
Right. Yesterday we arrested two people, one for a domestic violence situation that happened in the camp.
Okay.
And then another individual had warrants on him from Texas, but they said they wanted to extradite. So we put that person in jail. But today, I spoke to a couple of people there yesterday, and I said, where do y'all plan on going? I said, we're going to move down the street. which I guess ultimately is not a solution, but at least it's a start. This, to me, has nothing to do with state statute because that comes into effect in January.
Okay.
What this is just as a property owner saying, please come and get this.
It just happens to be a governmental property owner.
It happens to be, right.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is why I've been trying to push for the a corresponding ordinance that will match the state statute, so that if there's county property that we can take action. And then I'm also asking, we talked a little bit about the cities. The city has an ordinance against public camping,
right?
But they backed off on the one
that's right
that, on the private property. And what I would probably, and I'll say it here now, what I'd probably is ask them to do is reevaluate it. Private commercial, to me, I don't think that they should allow people to just camp that, because what's happened is, if we have a small piece of property, even around Beggs Lane, mm-hmm. everyone's going to that property. It's a commercial piece of property, and no one knew who the owner was.
Right.
So we're kind of stuck now with that particular person. So if you own commercial property, if you want someone to camp there, then give them permission. I'm okay with that. But I think that if you're like a vacant landowner, if you're you own commercial property,
or dilapidated,
property,
abandoned, all that stuff,
and those are code enforcement issues. But I think there's some things that we can do. I can simply tell you that the sheriff's office is prepared to assist the Escambia County and any commercial business or any private business or private landowner. If there's someone on your property you don't want there, we'll tell you, hey, you're allowing them to stay, so you have to go through the eviction process, or No, you're right. They got to go, and we're certainly willing to do that.
We had a shots fired at W Street in Maxwell. Was this the one where the couple was kind of driving around the block in the car, and it's a question whether they shot at the house or shot in the air or whatever? Is that the one?
Yeah, all I can tell is we got a call that what they call a shots fired disturbance. It's some sort of an issue, and the shots were fired. So we obviously want to get there pretty quickly. But what they told us was there was a guy in a black SUV that was the shooter. A white guy in an SUV. So our deputies, to their credit, while en route, they located a black SUV with a white guy driving. So they stopped this car. During that stop, we located two firearms, one of which was stolen out of Mobile, Alabama. We found some ammunition, but also concerning is we found trafficking amounts of meth and trafficking amounts of fentanyl. We also found some crack cocaine, other narcotics. And we ended up arresting there two people. We arrested, both were convicted felons, by the way. We arrested Josh DeMoss and Ashley Workman. So deputies did a good job.
So what started as a shots fired turned into a massive narcotics and weapons arrest for former felons. Color me shocked. but still, as a couple, and that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot for them, right? And plus possession as felons, right?
Yeah, well, remember, there's possession of a certain drug, and then there's possession with intent to distribute.
Oh, I meant possession of the gun. The guns.
Ultimately, I was getting into the trafficking is even a greater amount of drugs. And you're right, possession of the firearms themselves will probably get them where they belong.
We had sort of an unusual one only because the person involved, a car stolen that y'all pitted at T and Hernandez, just middle-aged lady, and then she ran.
Yeah, we've started to pit more of the stolen cars because of that connection to drive-by shootings, much like we saw with the story we just talked about. And so our deputy got behind a stolen car and turned the lights on, and the car decided that, nope, I'm not going to stop. So we stopped them. We helped them with their decision-making, and we ended up arresting the
And just for people who might not remember, the former policy was typically if they flee, let them go because it creates too much danger to pursue, but because of the frequent use of stolen cars in drive-by shootings, you changed responses, and you're now pitting those cars because this is a way to prevent homicides or the risk of it. Just for people who haven't been tracking all of this over the time we've been talking, go ahead.
Well, I will tell you that just to make sure everyone understands, there's no statute that says we can't pursue a car for a tag light. Florida Highway Patrol has a different standard. They most of theirs is interstate and such, and so they typically will pursue for more than we would. Our policy has been, and other agencies have been, the agencies even that I have been associated with, have been, well, let's not chase them because, again, that danger. So we weigh that risk. And so what I determined was, you know what, I certainly don't want anyone to get hurt. So if we try to stop someone and it is for a forcible felony or a felon like a stolen car, again, that connection that you and I just spoke of, then let's not just pursue them. Let's not wait till they run out of gas. Let's pull up to them and let's spin that car around We got better bumpers now, enhanced bumpers, so that we can spin a car. And as we can do that quickly, and this is exactly what happened in this situation, we spun her around pretty quickly. I don't know that she was expecting that, which is good for me. Kind of makes me smile. Anyway, so then we end up arresting her. Now, it's not unusual for us to stop a stolen car that where a female would be driving. But a lot of times the car will be borrowed three times down. You know,
okay,
it was stolen, then someone else borrowed it. But rarely do they actually run. And I don't know. But in this particular situation, I guess too much video games. I don't know.
Unsuccessfully.
Yeah.
We also had kind of an odd story where the couple invited the former husband over for Thanksgiving, and then he winds up attacking the husband, and the husband, stabs him, right?
That's it. The ex-husband, yes, stabbed the current husband. And we're talking about a 70-year-old and a 72-year-old. We're talking about one heck of a Thanksgiving dinner here. But in this situation, exactly what you said, we charged an individual with attempted murder because during that altercation or that disturbance that he pulled out a knife of some sort and ended up
stabbing. Was he there?
Like Thanksgiving, time to make amends. I don't know.
Okay, trying to be nice. It was a strange story for sure. A couple of sort of not here events, but I wanted to get your perspective on it. Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister, you familiar with him? I figured you sheriffs all know each other basically in Florida. Okay.
We certainly know. We talk. Yeah.
Okay, and he's been like three terms in office. He was unopposed this last time. He's been tapped to head the DEA.
Right.
Thoughts?
I think it's a good call. I've known Chad for a long time. If you recall, about 4 years ago when the governor came over here to talk about border security, Chad was one of the sheriffs there's three or four sheriffs that joined me up there and discussing this with the governor. So I know that he has an emphasis on border security and local drugs. So here's why I think it's a good choice. First of all, Chad does a really good job. Hillsborough County is a pretty big agency, probably has as many deputies as DEA has. And he understands. He's probably involved in as many DEA-type task forces as we are, if not more.
Okay.
In fact, I would say it probably is more. And all of our DEA task forces have connections, not just throughout the United States, but also internationally, specifically the border. So I think that he's going to bring that local perspective. But when I say local, a big agency, a large agency, large city, the Tampa area, where there's obviously a lot of drugs. And I think that he understands what happens, locally whenever the fentanyl gets to the streets. And I'm sure their agency, like ours, have made many, many large fentanyl cases, which, again, we have as well. And so it's going to take a little time for him to kind of get familiar with what the capabilities are, the complete capabilities are. And I'm talking about internationally with regards to DEA. But I think it's a good choice. I think I've talked to him many times. I've known him, obviously, since I've been the sheriff. And I think he'll do a great job.
Did they call you?
No. Okay. I'm glad. I don't think I would. I don't think I would.
You do have a background in narcotics and SWAT and all that. So anyway, I figured the answer was no, but I did. I figured I would ask.
Yeah. No. I probably wouldn't take that job anyway.
One of the big stories today, actually two, one locally and one not, is one is the Daniel Penny case. And this is the former Marine who wound up in a restraint hold of a guy who wound up dying later on. Would you have charged this guy when you see this particular case?
I've seen the video, and I can't see a scenario that we would charge someone for that. I want people to know and to feel reassured that they can step up and help somebody and not end up in jail because of it. We talk about reasonableness a lot. Mm-hmm. I've seen what they call the chokehold, and that's a stretch to me. There are other people that are kind of helping him out, but I don't know. I just think if someone steps up to help others, I think that you should get the benefit of the doubt. And I can't imagine a scenario that we would charge an individual like that.
Man, it's good to live in Escambia County, I'll tell you that much. Last one is red light cameras. We've been talking about quite a bit today because they started to put up the poles in Pensacola, 9th and Bayou, 9th and Airport, and 9th and Fairfield are in the process of being installed. This, I think of this as being started under Tommy Leiter. Did this start actually a little bit under you with Mayor Hayward?
Well, we did have some conversations about not just red light cameras, but also speed enforcement cameras. Because even back then, they had the technology, and some places do. I think I heard you talk about it.
Yeah, I know Phoenix does, right.
But yeah, there's a lot of places that do that here. We had those conversations, and the company came. This was about the same time that Gulf Breeze started their camera system. And then they were having some issues, and so state statute was going back and forth. So we decided at the time, Mayor Hayward and I decided at the time to, let's see where the statute, let's see where the state falls before we get ahead of ourselves. And so fast forward, I leave, I retire, and then I guess Chief Leiter comes in, and he and Ashton Hayward still are still looking at the cameras, and then I think he and Grover were, yep. were or Mayor Robertson
pushing for it, right?
We're pushing for it. So where it started, who signed the paperwork? I guess DC and him did, but it was something that we've been looking at for 10 years.
You a fan?
I think that it's a great enforcement tool for certain intersections. I'm not a
not
big brother kind of guy.
Right,
I'm
right.
not a I'm more of a freedoms, which is odd because I'm trying to put cameras out on main roadways for
right,
our intersections.
Right.
But all of our cameras are on roadways, you know, on public areas where you have little to no expectation of privacy.
Right.
But and these cameras are doing. If you think about the intersections, it's almost impossible for a police officer or a deputy, for that matter, to stop to stand at one area and. First of all, if you see someone running it, if they don't run right towards you, not, if that you got 25% chance, right?
Right.
So if they're not running towards you, it's hard for you to get out. So you're causing more trouble if you're trying to chase someone through a mid 9th and Bayou. You have to run your lights and stop all these cars, and it's just by the time you get up there, it's just congested. It's a mess. So I support it at certain large intersections where law enforcement has a difficulty with the enforcement.
And where there's a habit of running red lights. And there clearly is.
That's those almost everywhere.
Yeah. That's everywhere. Yeah. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thanks for the time and the perspective and the information and for keeping us safe. I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.